You remember taking tests in school? The worst test, of course, was the essay test, you know, where you had to pontificate on something that you didn't know. Slightly better than that was the fill-in-the-blank test, you know, where at least they gave you the sentence, so you just had to come up with the word or the couple words that answered the problem. Better than that, much better than that, would be the multiple choice. Because then, I mean, your odds on a fill-in-the-blank or an essay are zero if you don't know. Multiple choice. Now, it's 3-4 answers, 25%. I can flip a coin. You can guess C, and C, by statistically, is right more times than some of the other choices. So, and then if you can just eliminate one of the obvious, because they always throw one in there that's like the brain dead answer. So you can just throw that one away. So now you're up to like 33% anyways. But the favorite test of all would have to be the true false, right? Because you're guaranteed a 50. If you just blindly circle all trues, you're guaranteed or all falses. Well, we come to chapter 10 of Proverbs and we see a turn to many contrasting statements of a true versus a false. Most of the next few chapters are either ors. I like either ors. They're straightforward. It starts out and says the Proverbs of Solomon. We read in the beginning of chapter 1, it said the Proverbs of Solomon. But the first 9 chapters or so have been ideas about wisdom. They've been a series of information, you know, personifying wisdom as a woman, personifying seduction as a woman, personifying various aspects in longer passages. But then we come to chapter 10 and we come into a series of one-liners, more of what we are used to thinking about a proverb as. In 1 Kings chapter 4, if you remember from early on in the book, it said that Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs. We don't have all 3,000, nor are we going to cover all 3,000 tonight, so you don't have to sweat that. But we see certainly over the next few chapters a bunch of them. And the thing about these proverbs, and you'll see it in a couple examples, especially as we go through, I'll bring it up. You learn these things when someone asks you a question, you trot one of these babies out, you sound wise. I mean, you just have to copy what's here and say it at the right time or when the right question comes up. It starts out, Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. I can see some truth in that. When the son does well, dad will take credit for that and brag on it. You know, oh yeah, it's my boy, chip off the old block, smart as a whip. When the son does something stupid, the mother always takes it way too hard. Oh, it's probably my fault. I mean, I didn't do it. You know, so if he does well, if he's wise, dad takes the credit. If he does stupidly, it's your son. I mean, I don't know what. And yet mom has taken it to heart like I did something wrong. The truth from this is that whether we act as wise sons and daughters or whether we act as foolish sons and daughters, it has repercussions on other people. Our good choices, our stupid choices, they have an effect beyond ourselves. They do spill over onto our family and onto our friends. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Now, again, with many of these things, yes, it's true. Sometimes you have to tack into the end of these in the end, because there are many who seem to be profiting for a while with wickedness. But in the end, it is righteousness that delivers from death. That's why Jesus said, lay up treasure in heaven where, you know, moth and rust don't corrupt. He says, the Lord will suffer the soul of the righteous. Excuse me. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. You think about how much time we or I spend on wondering about whether my soul, myself, my body will be famished, worried about financial matters, providing for my family, providing for myself. Do I have enough? And yet here we have this promise, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. You know, I read some of these in like Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. You think of what Christ said. Let me read a couple verses from Matthew 6. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment, clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. And then here's the big one. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Because the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. If you seek first his righteousness, if you worry about clothing your soul with Christ's righteousness, the other stuff, he will take care of the rest. But that's contrasted with the wicked, whose substance he'll cast away. Verse 4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, the lazy guy. But, in contrast, the hand of the diligent maketh rich. You know, even though we know in from verse 3 that we shouldn't be continually focused on, oh, I've got to provide, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Yet, whatever he gives us to do, we're supposed to do it diligently, right? I mean, your part is to be diligent with whatever it is he gives to you. His part is to make sure that your soul is not famished or lacks anything. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. He that gathereth in the summer, you know, there is a time, I mean, we'll see when we get to Ecclesiastes, there is a season for everything. The birds made that song about it. But there is a time to harvest. There is a time to work. You know, I think many people looking at the season of their life, I think the youth many times squander their time to lay up in the summer of their youth for the fall or winter of their old age. Too many video games, not enough planning for the future. But whatever it is he gives us to do, we are to work diligently at it. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence, literally wrong, covereth the mouth of the wicked. Man, there are some people, the wicked, and their mouth is violence. You ever notice that? There's some people whose speech does violence to your ears, just the vile stuff that flows out of their mouth. I very much used to have a nasty mouth. It just was there, because not around my mother. She's going, no, not you. But yeah, no, truthfully, I did, just not around her. But it just came out. And I mean, you know, Christ is the one who said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And even though on the outside I had a clean appearance, when I was around my friends, I had a wicked mouth. And that was what came out. It was violence. It was vile to hear. But the blessings, they're upon the head of the just. The memory of the just is blessed. I love the King James. But the name of the wicked shall rot. The memory of the just is blessed. You remember Grandma, how she used to pray? Remember Granddad, how he used to just love on us? The remembrance of the wicked, it fades. Nobody wants to dwell on them. And I want to be that person, you know? I want my grandkids to remember me like my kids remember my parents and my dad. And I think it's a worthy goal. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. You know what prating means? A prater is one who prattles, which means to just yak, foolish chatter. And there's some people just yak, 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 yak. And the contrast is a wise heart will receive. They'll hear, they'll take in. The fool, yak, 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 will just talk. You think, you know, you look at the human body and just doing the very general math, you know, if you're into statistics at all, the fact that you have twice as many ears as you have a mouth ought to be an indication about the usage. In fact, the ears are permanently open. You can even shut your mouth. You have a cage for your tongue, and yet So many of us are tempted to just kick, run our mouth. But the wise, he'll receive commandments. I think there's a correlation there, personally. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Shall be known. Nothing gets hid. New Living, I like the way the New Living, you know, I talked a little bit this morning about translations, if you were here, and you know, there are some translations that are way better than others. The Proverbs are cool in like the New Living Translation, because it says it in a more common English, and in some of the meaning shines a little better. New Living in this says, he that walks with integrity walks surely, but he that perverteth his ways, has crooked paths, shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causes sorrow, but the prating fool shall, and you could insert still if you wanted to, back from verse 8, he still shall fall. That yacker. He that winketh, this isn't a contrast, it's more of a construct. You've got two different groups that will both, one bring sorrow, the other shall fall. Winketh with the eye. Remember, we covered this earlier in one of the Proverbs, a guy who's always looking for an angle. You know, he's giving a little wink, he's giving signals to his buddies, he's tapping with the foot, he's double dealing, he's doing mischief, and well, he causes sorrow, but the prating fool, he's still going to fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence, and you could insert still here from the previous one, violence still covers the mouth of the wicked. There are some people, you talk to them, and you know, from a life of experience, especially one in righteousness, you just want to hear him talk. You know, got old folks like that, you want to be around because you think they just got some pearls of wisdom. You know, they just know how to do stuff. I remember way back, I used to cut wood when I was in high school with Todd, my brother-in-law. We cut firewood, and his grandfather, he said, I'm bringing my grandfather out in the woods with us today. His grandfather weighed about 75 pounds. He carried a 75-pound pack, and he weighed about 75 pounds. You know, he had a belt that was cinched around twice, and one of those skinny old men. And I'm thinking, because we're working out in the woods, and we're cutting 4-foot firewood, wood hook, hauling it by hand. We had no equipment other than a tractor with a trailer on the back. And I'm thinking, oh, that's going to be beneficial. Let's bring an 80-year-old guy out in the woods. Super. You know, I'll carry him and my saw. Fantastic. So we come out to a stand of trees, and you know, I'm getting my stuff ready, and he just starts, he'd go right up to a tree, it was the weirdest thing, and he'd look up it, you know, like he'd get right up and look at that, and then he'd go over to this tree, and he'd look up it, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe we ought to call the home here, we should be sending him back. And then, I don't know if you've ever been to the orchestra before, and you've seen the guy up at the front, and he takes out that little baton and he, you know, and he starts, that guy brings out the chainsaw, and it was like a man conducting a symphony. Because we're doing, I mean, look, we're carrying this stuff by hand, right? And what would happen is Todd would drop the trees. That first year, Todd was doing all the cutting and I was hauling everything with a wood hook. And he'd just lay a tree down and then he'd go along. And of course, he'd drop it flat on the ground. And so he'd be digging his chain down into the dirt to cut through all the logs. And then we'd be stopping all the time. This guy took a stand of trees, and he laid them down like they were Lincoln logs. Boom, 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 all right on top of each other. He had these little wedges he'd tap in there, and he could drop those things on a dime. The man had lived his life in the woods, and he knew what he was doing. And when you see somebody who knows what they're doing, you think, oh, that is fantastic. Well, when you find somebody in righteousness, man, the mouth of the righteous man, he's a well of life. There are lessons to be learned. I mean, we are blessed here, and there's a lot of kids here, and I think that's fantastic. There's a lot of little kids running around. But there's some wise older men and women who have gone through some years and done some miles, and we do a great disservice if we don't listen to them and take of some of the wisdom that they have. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covers all sins. Again, another great contrast. On one hand, the person who is always stirring up trouble, they're always gossiping, they're always slandering, they're always looking to tell tales, that's a form of hatred. But love covereth all sins. Now, certainly, you know, there are contrasting ones that talk about whoever covers his sins won't prosper. The person who is trying to cover up his own mistakes or poor choices, it'll be found out. But love covers a multitude of sins. You know, Genesis 9, you remember the story after the flood when Noah got all drunk and got naked and passed out in his tent. And his boy Ham walked in and saw Daddy passed out drunk naked and ran right out to tell his brothers. And the two brothers, they walked in backwards holding a blanket and just let it fall over Dad. They didn't want to see him that way. They didn't want to, you know, cause him any more shame. He'd already brought enough on himself. And Ham ends up getting cursed when Noah wakes up and realized, you know, what he'd done, and that his son was quick to run out and tell other people. Love covers sin. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that's void of understanding. In the lips of him that has understanding, you find wisdom. But a rod, the guy who doesn't have understanding, he spanks himself. Proverbs 18:6, I really like it. It says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. The NIV says something like, his mouth invites a beating. You know people like that, that are so foolish that every time they open their mouth, they're just really asking somebody to hit them. Because of their stupid actions or their stupid words. Well, a rod is for the back of him that's void of understanding. Because a guy who's void of understanding has a tendency to still open his mouth and get beat for it. Verse 14, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. One is taking in that which is beneficial, the other is spewing out that which destroys. The rich man's wealth is a strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. This is not, in some ways, it's a contrast. I mean, on one hand, you've got the rich man is trusting in his riches, whereas the poor man is wiped out by his poverty. I mean, you've got the rich and the poor. There's a contrast there. But I think more than that, it's really saying when it comes to money with both of these groups, it's their downfall. I mean, the rich guy trusting in his riches, well, that's where his strength lies. But we know that's misplaced strength. But on the flip side, you have poor people who are so caught up in their poverty, that's all they think about. I mean, I know more people who are poor who are always thinking and talking about money than I do people who are rich who are always thinking and talking about money. And either way, trusting in those things or thinking that that is what keeps you down if you're poor, that's the wrong answer. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That true contentment in wisdom lies in finding out that riches are not a source of strength and poverty is not necessarily a source of weakness. There are some people who just end up being poor, and there's other people who just end up being rich. But Christianity is beautiful in that it applies to the rich and it applies to the poor. You know, that's why the prosperity gospel is so messed. Go over to India, go over to Kenya, to some of the slum cities, and try to tell them that everybody is going to be rich, and it just doesn't work in India. I'm sorry it doesn't work. But the gospel is, you can be forgiven of your sins, you can be born again, you can have eternity in heaven with God. That works everywhere. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. Pretty straightforward stuff here, you know. Truthfully, I could come in here and probably just read through, and it would be better if I didn't say anything, if I just read through these Proverbs, because they are brilliant. That's why they're in the book. We do know that the fruit of the wicked tends towards sin. It does. And that's why Jesus said, and it was in the context of false teachers, but he said, you know, by your fruits you'll know them, that a good tree produces good fruit, a bad tree, bad fruit, and you don't get briars from a good tree, and you don't get fruit from a thorn bush, but by your fruits you will know them. It says, he is in the way of life that keeps instruction, but he that refuses reproof errs. You know, I've said it many times, I'll say it again, I really believe a mark of maturity in a believer is the ability to accept reproof, to accept correction. I know I need to on a regular basis. And the question is, are we teachable? Are we willing to listen? Do we think we have it all figured out? The more I grow, the more I know I don't. Used to be I had all kinds of answers, you know. oh, I need people to come to me for counseling because I know just what to say. I have my verse I can pull right out of my pocket, bang, hit them right on the head with it. There you go. All your problems are solved. It doesn't really work that way. You know, the further on I go, the more I say, I have no idea. Let me just pray for you. Can I pray for you? Because, you know, platitudes, I mean, and I do believe that we are to be quoting the word. And that's why we're learning these proverbs, because these proverbs are the answer to a lot of life's questions. But it's a mistake sometimes to think we know more than we do and to just fling out verses here and there like they are the fix-all in somebody's life. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that utters slander is a fool. Slander is a fool. Never see that spoken of in a positive light. Talking, slandering, gossiping. Mm-mm. In fact, I love this proverb, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. I mean, think about that. In the multitude of words there wants not sin. We live in a world of talk radio, sound bites, teleprompters, Facebook, Twitters, blogs, instant messenger, text messages. It's very difficult time to justify the text message in a positive light in any way whatsoever. I mean, I was having this discussion with Ali the other day because I texted him something and he responded to me. It doesn't happen very often. There's only two people, him and Dan, that I text with. And usually the purpose of a text message is when I don't really want to talk to you. I just want to like say one thing or hear one thing, but I can't be bothered to have a discussion with you. I'll just send a one-liner off and hopefully you'll just do the same and that way we can stay apart. But, you know, I look at these kids that live on their phones. I can't, you know, I know my daughter who's 14 is probably going to say, oh man, but I just really can't think of much of a good reason for a teenager to have a phone at all. Phone with a camera especially, I'm sorry. There's just nothing good that comes from a young child having a phone with a camera. In the multitude of words, there wants not sin. If we're sitting around yakking long enough, no doubt we're going to start sinning. But conversely, he that refrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. You've heard somebody, oh, that guy speaks with a silver tongue. Yeah, that's where it comes from. And you know what makes silver, gold valuable, right? Scarcity. The tongue of the just is choice silver. There seems to be a scarcity of just people, but there's wicked people everywhere, and their heart is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. And the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. You know, every good, James says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow. That it might not mean financial richness, but, you know, I can look at my life, and I can, you know, I do my taxes every year, and I do my own. I was self-employed. I'm still self-employed, but I have been off and on for a bunch of years. And I can look back to when I started going to Calvary, and then I really started getting involved in the ministry, and I was, you know, working at home for part of that and then not. And I think since I started getting involved in active ministry, just about, although there might have been one year where it didn't quite follow the trend, but by and large, I've made less every single year since I've started. But I'm way more blessed now than I ever was, because, you know, money is not the end all and be all by any stretch. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. Man, that was me. It was a sport to do mischief as a kid. I liked to just, you know, needle people and do different things with my friends to try to get each other into trouble. Or sport to a fool, but a man of understanding, he has wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. If you delight in him, if he is your desire, that desire will be granted. You know, you look at Paul saying about all those things that he accomplished in his life, but he says, all of that stuff I count as dung for the, that I might know him, you know, for the glory of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, that he wanted to know Christ more than anything. And I think this is part of that promise. As the whirlwind passes, so the wicked is no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. They blow in and they blow up and then they blow out. And the wicked fade away. Seem like something when they're here. Oh no, it's the wicked. But eventually they blow away. Where's the righteous everlasting? As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to they that send him. Now, I be honest with you, I haven't consumed much straight vinegar, so I can't really say. I'm thinking it's sour on your teeth. You know, I mean, I've had vinaigrette salad dressing, but that's cut with other spices and stuff. But does a shot of vinegar really hurt your teeth? I would think it would. I would think it would. Certainly if you had like cavities or something. But I understand smoke to the eyes being in Maine, because anybody who's ever been around a campfire in Maine, you've got a smoke magnet in your eye. And it doesn't matter which way the wind is blowing. You can go to any side of that fire, and it seeks you out. It's like an eye-seeking missile. And you'll go over here, and it stings your eye, and it's just annoying. So you walk to the other side, and it follows you around. Well, sending a sluggard, a lazy person, to do your business is as annoying as smoke in your eyes. Isn't that a great picture? The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And again, to play this one out, certainly you have to go into eternity, because wickedness does lead to death, eternal death, but righteousness, eternal life. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. And again, because one hopes to everlasting life, and he'll be glad in it. The other, he's going to get everlasting death. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. I mean, many of these things, similar type of idea presented from different sides. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, says, nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I look forward to that. You know, the more I look at our society and our government and the way things are going, I think, I long for that day when we are ruled by a righteous king. By all his judgments are righteous. I won't be complaining about how the administration is going, about any of the directions. It will be all righteousness. That will be a great place to be. Makes me long for heaven. The mouth of the just brings forth wisdom. The froward tongue shall be cut out. That's a great picture right there, isn't it? The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaks frowardness. I'm going to go through this next one. Now, I'm not going to take as much time, I promise, but I don't want to be in Proverbs forever. And as I said, these things comment on themselves. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. He hates people who cheat, okay? A false balance. You know how it would be. I mean, today we buy stuff mostly prepackaged food. But in the past, you'd go to buy, it's like going to the hardware store today, and if you want to get a certain amount of nails, you take the little balance scale, you put X amount of weight on one side, and you start dumping the nails on the other side. And when your 5-pound weight balances with your pile of nails, you know you've got 5 pounds worth of nails. Well, the way to cheat somebody would be to take and use, if you're going to sell something, you have a 5-pound weight that really weighs 4.5 pounds, but it says 5 pounds on it. So you sell somebody 4.5 pounds worth of nails and they think they're getting five because they don't have a digital scale. They just have a balance scale. Conversely, when you go to buy something and you're going to buy some butter, then you'd pull out your 6-pound weight that says 5 pounds on it so that you could buy an extra pound of stuff for, I mean, you know, that's how cheating. God really hates that. The false scales. It's mentioned many times in Scripture. That's why, I mean, even today, you go to the gas stations and all of them are inspected by the weights and measures guy. There's somebody who comes through every year to make sure that you're actually getting a gallon of gas when you pay an exorbitant fee of money. Gas is a really pet peeve of mine. Lincoln especially. Why is it always more expensive in Lincoln? Do you wonder that? You go down to Howland, and it's 8 cents cheaper right there, 10 miles down the road. 8 cents cheaper, 10 miles down the road. A tanker truck of oil. Do you know how much is in a tanker truck? I looked it up today. 5,500 gallons is what the average tanker truck holds. They get 8 cents a gallon to do the extra 20 miles round trip, 10 miles up, 10 miles back. 5,500, 8 cents a gallon, $440 to haul that gas, that extra tanker truck, from Howland to Lincoln. It's 30 miles from Howland to Bangor, roughly, which is where the terminal is. So you would assume if it costs $440 to do an extra 10 miles and back to Lincoln, it must be three times cheaper in Bangor than it is in Howland, right? It must be 24 cents a gallon cheaper in... No, it's about the same, really, in Bangor and Howland, and then it's 8 cents more a gallon in Lincoln. It's like... And you ever notice when the price of gas changes, which is every day, it's almost like all of the signs... I think there's one guy with a switch somewhere in Lincoln who goes, boink, and all of the gas stations roll up to the same price. Why is that? A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. I'm sorry. That's just a... Somebody should do something. Yeah, that's right. Someone... When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Man, pride... And it's hot on the heels, you know. Shame follows pride. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Speaks for itself. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. You know, when wrath falls, you look at the times when wrath, God's wrath would fall on the Israelites in the Old Testament when they'd turn from him and finally judgment would come, and it was always by a conquering nation. When a conquering nation came, it really didn't matter. If they sieged your city, they walled it up, you know, money's nice to have, but you can't eat gold, right? And eventually, there's no profit in the day of wrath. When we look in Revelation, when the Lord returns, the kings of the earth, presumably the rich ones, they're the ones in the caves asking the rocks to fall on them to hide them from the face of the Lamb. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. And the next one's very similar. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. I mean, he'd said back in chapter 1 that, you know, people who are seeking out for blood, they're lying in wait for their own blood. And here we see this contrast. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall. When a wicked man dies, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. Hope is gone at death for the wicked and the unjust. It's pointed to man once to die and then the judgment. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Isn't that nice? You know, you're in trouble, you're righteous, you're going to be delivered out of that, and the wicked is going to take your place. I like the sound of that. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Man, if there is anything that's the definition of a hypocrite, it's a gossiping Christian, you know, who's talking slander about his neighbor. A hypocrite, it means an actor is what it is, somebody who's playing the part, that's giving the Hippocrates, the one who wears the mask is what it means, the one who is giving the appearance of being something he's not. A slandering Christian is playing a game. And how many of our neighbors do we know that I'm not going to church? There's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, don't go to hell. You won't like that because it's full of them. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Herod the Great was a wicked man. We read about him in the scriptures. When he died, he was such a hated guy. He knew that they were going to party when he died. Herod the Great knew that. So he ordered, when he was toward the end of his life, he ordered that the noble men from all the surrounding communities would be put in prison. And he gave a command that when he died, they were immediately to be put to death, so that there would be sadness and everyone else would be sad because somebody died that they actually cared about. Thankfully, the guards were smart enough to think, why are we going to enforce that? So as soon as he died, they let him go free, and then there was partying all around the land. But when the wicked perish, they're shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. You ever read the letters to the editor in the Bangor Daily? You ever read it online where people are allowed to comment on them? Talk about the mouth of the wicked overthrowing a city. Man, I'll be glad when this election season is over and the ballot questions are gone and voted on, and I'm tired of reading and hearing all the trash back and forth. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Holds his peace. A man of understanding. Because, you know, saying the first thing that comes into your mind, it's just, I can't really think of a time when that's been beneficial to me. There's a lot of stuff that immediately comes to mind. Wisdom comes when you're smart enough to just shut your mouth. You know, Abraham Lincoln has a quote that I really like. It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. Right? You think, that guy was smart. Yeah, you know what? Proverbs 17, verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Abe Lincoln ripped off the Proverbs. And we think, he's so smart. That guy was awesome. Huh? Rip them off. Learn these things. You can use them. Put them in your own words. Everybody's going to think you're brilliant. They'll be quoting you 100 years from now. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Keep a confidence. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And we found that. You know, a person who won't listen to counsel, fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, but he that hate a suretyship is sure. King James just shines in a verse like that. Surety means to guarantee a loan for someone else, to be a guarantor for another person. The person who co-signs for a stranger will smart for it. You know, good old Maine talk. That's smarter, didn't it, mister? That's smart. Well, he'll smart for it. It'll hurt. He that hates co-signing or guaranteeing, he's guaranteed. That's what it says. A gracious woman retains honor. A woman who shows grace, she retains honor. And strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubles his own flesh. A sin hurts you more than anyone else. And certainly there is collateral damage. Also, bitterness, anger. I mean, medicine realizes, you know, you worry, you give yourself ulcers. That your outlook, your, I don't know, better countenance, your attitude can have physical effects on your body. You can worry yourself sick. You can fear yourself into heart problems. But the one who's merciful, he does good to his own soul. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Sowing and reaping. You sow to righteousness, you'll reap righteousness. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. That's what the scripture teaches. You harvest the seed that you plant. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Righteous, life. Evil, death. Duh. I mean, there it is. It's just laid out again for you. They that are of a froward heart, bent crooked, are abomination to the Lord. But such are as upright in their way are his delight. You know, we read the scripture, we read God is love. God loves everybody. Yes, he is love. Yes, he does love everyone. There are behaviors that he really hates. And an abomination, a good way to remember the meaning of that is it means it makes you want to puke. And there are a lot of behaviors that God finds to be abominable, and he calls that in his word. And that includes the froward, the perverted, twisted heart. But he delights in those who are upright. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The though, you'll notice, if you're reading the King James like I am, the though and the join are in parentheses, and when you see that in the King James, it means it was added by the translators to try to make it flow a little better, but those words aren't in the original. Really, in the King James, the language underneath just says, hand in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. These things go hand in hand. Wicked, punishment. Righteousness, deliverance. Hand in hand, they go together. Here's a beauty. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. You know, beauty is only skin deep. Ugliness goes clear to the bone. And what he's basically saying is, look, in the same way that if you have a pig and you take something pretty and you put it on the pig, you still got a pig, okay? And if you've got a piggish woman and she's wrapped in a beautiful wrapper, you still got a pig, right? And that's the point. That there is more than outward beauty. And man, it amazes me how we celebrate in our culture, in our entertainment, women without discretion. There's a bunch of nose-pierced pigs running around in the checkout line every time I walk down there. The desire of the righteous is only good. What he wants is goodness. But the expectation, what he's going to get of the wicked, is wrath. 24. The next three are really all related. The same idea. There is that scattereth, yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than's meet or is fitting, but attends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. I'm sure you're all thinking, why, Steve, you look very liberal today. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that sells it. The idea is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9. He which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows or gives bountifully shall reap bountifully. That, and it just sort of works out this way. There are some people who give and give and give, and they continue to get more and more and more because the Lord blesses them. They're a conduit that he can work through. There are other people who scrimp and try to hold on to every penny, and they never have enough. I've seen it play in my life that the Lord blesses a giving heart, that as you pour yourself out, as you pour your time out, as you pour your resources out, the Lord will not be outgiven by you or by me. He will not be a debtor to me. I'm not going to go to heaven and say, you owe me. It's not going to work that way. We are tools in his hand. Liberal, it's not liberal and conservative like we think of liberal and conservative. It's like, oh yeah, he gave that a liberal dose of sugar in his coffee, you know, where you're really pouring it out. That's the idea. The person who's really pouring it out, he shall be made fat. Now, in our messed up, twisted culture, we think if you're not skin and bones, there's something wrong with you. But in a world where the majority of the people are scrimping and working like dogs to be able to eat for a day, the fat guy's really blessed because he's got so much that he has excess. He can pile on extra pounds. That's why you say, I look very liberal. And the person that withholds the corn, he shall curse them. That whole oil thing, you know what they do. Oh, the price isn't high enough. We're going to cut back on production to drive up the price of oil. We curse those people who cut back production. We want you to pump as much as you possibly can so that I can drive around on the cheap. The people curse the guy who holds back the corn, but they bless the guy who sells it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeks mischief, oh, it'll come to him. You'll find it. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. What are you trusting in? He that troubles his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. That's why we didn't sing happy birthday to my daughter. We only sang it to Nani's, because as I told her afterwards, Nani, I can make you mad. You're going home with Alan. But if I tick off my daughter, I got to drive her home. Guy who troubles his own house, he'll inherit the wind. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Yeah. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. There is blessing now. Much more the wicked in the sinner. It's kind of the proverbial way of saying what goes around will come around, and that the Lord will bring back, pressed down, shaken together. Let's pray the Lord to give us wisdom. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you are a God who offers wisdom, who gives it to us freely. Lord, help these to take up residence in our life. Help us to be the wise, to be the prudent, to be the giving, to be the generous. Lord, help us to turn from evil, to follow after righteousness. And Lord, let us be concerned with winning souls. Bless my brothers and sisters. Give them wisdom this week, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Grace and peace, guys.